the thing, little things that they're doing that, you know, whether it's how they are sourcing or just how they're interacting with people. I take from that, you know, I've been in mastermind groups with people where we share information, and I try and be as open and transparent as I've seen people like the Amazing Freedom Team be. And it's only been beneficial because there's been so many ideas in those arenas that I never would have thought of if I wasn't networking and engaging with people. And you know, it's give and take, but you know, I don't think about the take side. I just try and give, and then it just comes naturally that the more you give, you're gonna see people just pour into you. Like, dude, I wanna show you something now. I wanna help you, you know.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Add an important member to your Amazon team's Solutions for E-Commerce. Yep, Solutions for E-Commerce. Karen Locker's team helps manage our Amazon account. We pay full price, just like everybody else. We've been using it for a couple of years, and the reason is because of the results. We modify a lot of listings, especially in wholesale, because we're trying to enhance that listing, right? We're trying to help the brand. And so guess what? That's the type of service that we get from Solutions for E-Commerce. So it's Solutions, the number four, ecommerce.com/wholesale, and you can get $50 off her service. Go try it. Give it a shot and say, hey, could you help me get this listing in line? And guess what? That allows you to go out and develop relationships with wholesalers. And then the work gets done by Karen and her team. I can't recommend it enough. We use it. Again, we pay full price. Solutions, the number four, ecommerce.com/wholesale. Save $50. Get that important part of your team working for you. So you're looking for an advantage to help you woo a brand. Well, one of the tools that you can use is Scope. You could check out their product and then check out their competitors and find the keywords their competitors are using and check out theirs and see that they're not, and then say, okay, I've got an idea. Let me do this. Let me enhance your brand. That's the thing you can bring to the marketplace. When you can enhance the brand, you're going to win that account. So try it. You get a free trial, but sellerlabs.com/scope, use the code Momentum and save $50. It's a free trial. Try it and see if you can enhance the brand. Hey, it's time to get the listings right. So what should you do? You should get your images right, right? So Amazing Freedom has a program to help you do that, and we've used them. It's phenomenal what they can do. You got to go look at this. So you go to amazingfreedom.com/photos and take a look at the examples of what you can do with an image. You take and you give them some sample images, some simple images, and then what they do is they take and insert them with lifestyle photos. And so all of a sudden, you're going to see an example of what a plain image looks like and then what it can be enhanced to. Why is this of value to you? Well, you're in the wholesale business. And guess what? You want to add value to the brand. And this is just a simple way to do it. They offer all those kinds of services. Scroll down to the bottom. If you really want somebody to help really improve this service and you want to bring value to that brand because you want exclusivity, the services that they offer for listing enhancement will blow your mind. So again, it's amazingfreedom.com/photos. Take a look at what you can do for your brand that you're trying to get. If you're ready to learn about wholesale, then I suggest Best from the Nest and Robin Johnson. Her Unstoppable Amazon Academy will help you learn from basically even opening an account if you're brand new to Amazon, but then all the way to brand building. How do you enhance a brand? How do you have that conversation? There's 300 plus videos, probably more than that by now. So very simple, as little as $49 a month. bestfromthenest.com/EM. That's it. bestfromthenest.com/EM. Check out the services that they offer. Check out some of the events that she hosts. Do you want to go walk around ASD? Check it out. bestfromthenest.com/EM. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 376, Jeremy Nicholson. I think Jeremy's story, it's funny, you know, when you plan these things. I plan these things months in advance, and you know, think about what you want to talk about with them. You know a bunch of their story, usually. I know quite a bit of it, or I'll do a little bit of research, but I try not to know too much, and you know, there's a few things in here I didn't know, but what he did for me was open my eyes to something that I don't think I've done a good job of explaining. When you listen to this, and you'll understand that Jeremy's a videographer, and that the opportunity of video came along and he was completely ready for it. The opportunity to do video for Amazon sellers. He was completely ready for it because of his past and because of his preparation, because he was paying attention, because he was listening, because he was giving. He was accepted and he then was given too. And I think that's so powerful. So no matter where you work, and I use the example, if you work in healthcare, now that Amazon's getting into the healthcare business, right, and you know that it's only going to get better as technology changes and this and that, you have a distinct advantage. And I hadn't thought about it that way. I know I always say something similar to this, but being ready when it does come your way, right? It's not ready today. So if you're in healthcare and it, you know, you're not seeing a big advantage on Amazon yet, it's coming. So get all the other stuff worked out. Get all the details of how to do things worked out. So when the opportunity comes, you can pounce on it and you will advance so 10 times further than me, 10 times further than 99% of the people. That's your secret sauce. And it's different for each person because we've all done different things in our life that are preparing you for what's to come. And I think Jeremy's a perfect example of that. And he's so humble about it, but he's just such a wonderful person. And I just think it's such a great example of what you can do when you put some faith in it. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-commerce Momentum Podcast. We're excited about today's guest because I think another example of building or using e-commerce in the way that works for you at the time you need it to work for you. There shouldn't be one set way because when the world changes outside of your control and you don't adapt, you could implode, right? And so having the ability to do a whole bunch of different things and then ebbing and flowing. So as my life gets busy, we slow down. Literally, we were just away at a trade show for several days. Barely any shipping got done. Whatever got done had to get done. That was it. And we stop, right? And that's the beauty of having Amazon. But then we come back and we can give it our all. And that's by design. So another great example, Jeremy Nicholson. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you, Stephen. Welcome. Well, thanks for having me.
Wait, do you agree with that statement? Is that fair?
Yeah, and actually I was kind of mulling that over and why I was kind of caught off guard there. That's exactly my life story.
but isn't that cool? I mean, think about that. Your grandfather didn't have that option, right? He didn't have that option.
You know, that's one of the things that makes me appreciate an opportunity like Amazon more than anything else, because it gives everyday people an opportunity to make side income, full-time income, residual passive income in ways that no other opportunity out there can give you.
Way back years ago, I had an interview and I'm drawing a blank on her name and I apologize, but it was such a profound statement. She said it basically selling on Amazon, nobody knows if you're black, you're white, you're gay, you're straight, you're tall, you're short, you're fat, you're thin, you're blind, you're not, you're anything. It's the evening out. It's an effort issue, right? And a result issue. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. Not many things in my life have that same, ability. You know, there's usually somebody can see you so they can judge you and then they can pass judgment on you, right? Or they can hear you don't like my voice, right? But with the blind selling like that, right? The, you know, bad term, but you know, third party selling, maybe that's a better term. Nobody knows. You know, most people have no clue that they bought something from you.
Right. And a lot of times they don't even realize when they're buying from Amazon that they are buying from an entrepreneur or a mom and pop store, or like they just see Prime shipping, add it to their cart, and most of the time they have no idea the work that's going on behind the scenes and the opportunities that are happening there.
100%. How many boxes do you get in and you just see, I see an FBA label on it. And I'm like, I have no clue who sold that. I mean, we got our vitamins in the other day. Is somebody put an FBA shipping on, or label on that? I have no clue who it came from. I'm sure my wife just bought the buy box, right? That's like most people.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about Jeremy, because Jeremy is not just in the e-commerce world. He's had a couple other little things happen in his life. But let's go back. You were always going to be X. What was it going to be?
I was
always.
I was always going to be a storyteller. That's my
Period.
That's my shtick. That's what I do. So, yeah.
But I mean, were you the kid that would just, you know, get up in front of the family? They say, okay, Jeremy, get up there and tell everybody a story at dinner time or, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. Is that you?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, in storytelling, I prefer to use a tool of like a camera. And okay. I remember as a kid realizing the power of that when I was playing with my neighbors with a video camera, and, you know, it was like a VHS camera back in the day. And we were playing on trampoline, and I did a few scenes where I had him like jump up in the air. Then I said, jump off and now lay down on this rock right here. And I just like cut it together in camera and went to my friend's parents and said, oh no, look what happened. And they looked at the video and they said, yeah, it was evil. I was a mischievous yes. young kid, but seeing the look in that parent's eyes in the terror as they thought their son had jumped off and landed on a giant rock, because we lived in the mountains of Colorado off a trampoline, and just like seeing that they believed it. And I was like, man, there's power here. And, you know, and then, you know, we laughed and said, aha, well, it was a big joke. But I immediately realized as a kid that, man, this is fun. It's fun to do that kind of storytelling in a way that, you know, you can manipulate things, but also to tell real stories that people watch and say, wow, and they take something from it and they can, and it impacts their life. So I've always enjoyed that.
So, you know, as you're sitting there saying that, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, because if somebody said, oh man, you know, Billy Bob jumped off a rock and he hit his head, you know, I'd be like, oh, are you telling stories again? But now you're showing visual. Oh my God, it looks compelling, right? Especially
right.
You're a little kid. You're not supposed to know how to do that.
Exactly.
All right. So that storytelling stays with you. When did you start taking photography serious?
It was in college. I thought music would kind of be one of the things I got into, and then, you know, and still was doing the video side of things. But again, just continued to like see how much shooting video and editing it together and making stories that people enjoyed. And you know, I created a lot of content that was used in some like Saturday Night Live type skits in our college that I went to, and just really started learning that this is really my niche. This is what I'm good at, and this is what I want to do with my life.
Was there one type of photography that was better for you? I mean, it's video. I mean, but was there one style, I guess I should say, or genre you were looking at that seemed to be more attractive to you and that just came easier for you?
Yeah, I mean, the more the documentarian style, and that's why I ended up for a large portion of my career at a public broadcasting station in Miami, working as a videographer, editor, working on many documentaries and science-based programs and traveling around the world and shooting things and even underwater cinematography, did a lot of that. So
you not only did you take pictures, you had to edit other people's pictures.
Or, right.
Yeah,
right.
Video, I'm calling
video,
pictures.
Video.
I'm using bad terms.
That's
probably
okay,
like,
Steve.
Come
I get
I'm not the first.
I get it all the time.
Yeah, I'm not the first.
I get
first.
It all the time.
So how hard is it? I mean, because I would think about like an hour documentary. How many hours of footage does it take to make something like that?
Oh, gosh.
Realistically.
I mean, in general, we would probably shoot 20, 30 hours of footage for half hour and an hour documentary. It's just the way it went when you're really trying to dig in to find where the real story is and just getting all the footage to kind of complement all that. It's a lot more than people think. People are always shocked when they realized what all went into it. And every time I'd shoot an interview or even just shoot like a scientist in a laboratory there, or, you know, they'd be like, wow, I didn't realize there was so much that went into this. I thought you just come in here and you're in and out in 15, 20 minutes. And it's not like that. So
yeah, it's 15, 20 minutes per view and there's 12 views, right? Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think about that stuff when I see, and it's another view and I'm like, did they have a second camera or did that guy pick up, move over, start filming again? And a lot of times, especially today, it's probably the latter, right? I mean, because cost cutting,
right?
As the corporate, I don't care if it's PBS, they're all corporate America. They have cut costs. Matter of fact, in our towns, I saw the TV stations consolidate a lot of the videographers. I don't know if they were outsourced or whoever they were. They would just share the same camera guy. He would take, there was no news thing on the side of it. And he, that same film shows up on two or three competing stations, edited differently, I guess.
It's so true.
So, you know, and, so you went into, you left college, you went in to work for PBS, you traveled the world. What did you learn about video that you were naive about in college? Because I'm sure you had this glamour thing. Oh, this is going to be glamorous and it's going to be amazing. And then life happened.
I mean, I think I learned that it would be more time consuming than I thought, you know, as a young person that, you know, wide-eyed and stuff, I thought, you know, it'd be easier at times than it was. But in reality, it really was as fun and exciting to me as I expected it to be. And I really have always enjoyed my career. I mean, I've, you know, of course, everyone has certain things that are frustrating about their jobs, and even your dream job has frustrations, but I feel like I've always worked my dream job. I've just, you know, in order to do that, I had to get creative sometimes with, you know, being able to supplement the income, because working for PBS wasn't exactly the most lucrative thing I could do.
So is that why e-commerce came into your world?
Well, sort of. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, even in middle school, I was buying candy in bulk at like Sam's Club and selling it to my peers out of my locker. Nice. I right out of college, I was looking for side income as well, and I put out a bunch of gumball machines, and within a matter of time, I was generating over $1,000 a month in quarters from gumballs, and you know, like I and went from there to like snack and soda machines. Like I just did whatever it took to kind of supplement whatever income I had, and tried to come up with with ideas that would lead me somewhere where I could have more of a passive type income. So
well,
I could
each one of those build
dream
on each one. I mean, so it's funny you say that, because you see guys who start with the little machine and then they get the bigger machine and the bigger machine, and they do that. That's a natural progression. However, none of them are passive. Everybody thinks they are. The soda machine. You know, good luck. Yeah. Carry those cases of soda and fill that machine. That's mindless work.
I will say I totally agree, and I bailed on the whole soda machine, snack machine idea. The gumballs felt more like a passive, although it's still work. You go and fill it up, but I was only having to do that like once a month. Right. A couple of the machines every like 4 or 5 months, so it felt more passive than I remember as a young person meeting with like a Merrill Lynch financial planner with me and my wife as a young couple trying to plan our how we're going to handle our money and setting it up for retirement and stuff. I remember the lady saying, "You need to get more gumball machines. That's what we need to focus on right now."
That was her advice. Go big, Jeremy, go big or go home. Come on, man.
I'm like in this huge, office building talking to a financial planner, and they're saying, "Go get more gumball machines now and focus on that."
But, did you get one in their building? I mean, that would be the close. That would be the ask. I'd be like, all right, you get me a commitment right now. I'm going to put one on each floor. Let's go.
No, I actually found a little niche that a friend of mine's encouraging me to write some, like an ebook or something about it to put on Amazon, because I tried a bunch of different spots and I found that some particular things worked better than.
There is a secret sauce.
There is. I mean, it's not like a get rich quick thing, right? It's just it's a great side income. I think it's great for young families too, especially with kids. It shows, you know, I still do this today. And I love going with my kids.
Wait, you still have gumball machines?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I still, oh, I mean,
that's funny.
You know, not to the level that I had before, because I just don't have the time, but I find value. I mean, I'm probably about $150 a month is all I'm making, because I've only got one location.
That's a lot of gumballs right to now. Sell for $150 profit or cash. I mean, that's a lot of money.
That's right. And so when I go with my kids to empty it and stuff, it's super fun to see the look on their face and all the quarters and kind of explaining to them how that works and why we do it. So
yeah, how many kids do you have?
I have three kids.
Oh, do any of them share that spark? I mean, are you seeing that spark that you had? Are you seeing any of it?
Oh, definitely. My daughter is like,
she's
either dreaming up a way to like, she just opened her own cleaning business this last week.
And that's funny.
That we've reaped the rewards of that, immensely as she's cleaning, you know, areas of our house for a dollar at a time. And she's seeing how she can accumulate money to buy things that she wants or save money. And she even does stuff like she's wanting to do a fundraiser for her local for a local outreach program that helps like homeless kids and stuff. She's so amazing, and I love that spirit in her. So not only she has the entrepreneurial spirit, but she also has the spirit of giving and wanting to impact other lives, which is like even more important in my mind.
In mine too. You know, it's funny. I had that discussion with somebody earlier. I said, no, I'm not interested in doing it. I'll just give. I don't want it. No money. How do you feel about that? You know, because that topic comes up a lot in our groups. You know, you're teaching other competitors, Jeremy, you know, by your, and not your daughter's case, but I'm just talking about in general though. My experience is that, you know, most people, I'm going to be real general here, don't follow through. So it's just so cool when you get that person and they get exposed to this and they just shoot to the top. To me, that's a win. Even though they passed me out long time ago, I applaud them. I stand behind them and say, man, thank goodness you found out what you were supposed to do. Because if I didn't share with you, you might have never found it. And what could have happened? You know, we might have lost. I mean, because you know, you never know who they are. They could be the next Amazon, right? Or whatever. You know what I mean? To me, that's my approach. But I've heard the other side is like, Steve, you're bringing competitors in. Where do you stand on that?
I mean, you know, I one of my idols and friends and just someone that actually two guys that I admire. There's so many actually as I keep thinking it's growing in my head. But let me just say in the Amazon world, the gurus that I've had the opportunity to kind of either do work for, work with, be alongside of, be at, whether it's a retreat where they're teaching sellers how to sell, or it's a conference, or you know, because I've done a lot of video work for these guys. And one of the things I love when I get a chance to be around these guys that are making it and are doing well is how much they enjoy pouring into others. And without worry of what that's going to do to their bottom line, they just want to see other people succeed. And I've never seen it anywhere else like I do in the Amazon community. You know, you see on Facebook and stuff, sometimes you see a lot of the opposite of that. People that are mad.
They're
mad that information's getting shared and that tips and tricks are being shared that they feel like, oh man, this is just going to make it harder for me. But in reality, once you just sit back and realize it's more about connecting with people in life, and you'll see that you'll get more out of what your bank account's doing. And then when you connect with people in a real way and you see them, their eyes light up and like, man, I never thought of that. And I hear them say, I took your advice and ran with it. And now look what's happening. Like, you know, I see people like, you know, like Leron Hirschhorn showing stuff all the time on Facebook about people that he's helped out. But
you've seen it personally, him and Andy and Nate. I mean, you can speak to it. I mean, that's who you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
You didn't say who it was. So it's Andy, Leron, and Nate. But you've seen it personally, all right? You're getting paid by them to perform a service. And yet, you know, and they got those people paid to go to that event.
Right.
But you see the above and beyond, right? I mean, it's like it's like that doesn't exist. You know, it's like, hey, you know, my contract ends right here, Jeremy. You were supposed to do this, and that's it. I did my part. Goodbye. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
These guys are up almost 24/7. They're vampires. Him, Nathan and Leron are vampires. Yeah, I swear to God, they never sleep. You know,
they're always getting going. Like they're going.
Yeah, as I'm getting up, they're getting ready to go to bed, and I'm like, hello. but it's the truth, though. That's the God's honest truth. You see. And you're sitting there behind the camera, so I'm sure you're sitting there judging, right? You know, I mean, like a human being. And what do you see? real compassionate help.
Right. And it's evident. I mean, I've shot testimonial videos for them. I've been sitting there late at night, just listening to the interactions at a private label retreat, and just hearing them dialoguing with people. And I'm friends with a lot of the people that have gone to these things and seen how their businesses have exploded, and it's just celebrated immensely by the Amazing Freedom team. And I've just never met a core group of guys that, you know, they're in the trenches doing it all the time, but all they want to do is lift people up and show them how to succeed in the same way. And it's like real, it's transparent, and it's immediate almost.
It does hurt me a little bit when people are like, oh, they're doing it for the money. I mean, don't get me wrong. They make a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. They do make a lot of money, but I know their stores, they sell a lot. I mean, you know, it's not like they need to do this. And somebody said, well, why would they do that? I honestly, personally believe, and I'm 3.5 years, almost 4 years with them, I've seen it. For all that time, I'm waiting for somebody to show me another side. I've never seen another side but that. And I've seen them, you know, we drank way too much in certain places, you know, when you see the worst in people. And I've never seen any of that. And so it's very cool. You know, I'm particular who I'm around with that. And, man, I've just been so lucky and so fortunate, and as you have too. What do you think that's done for your business? As you think about, like, you know, being a seller, and then we'll get to merch too, but what has that done for you? You're out there performing a service, and you have to perform at a standard. So you have to be on in your game, right? Your photography game.
Yeah.
Or your videography game. So, you know, not like you can soak it all in. But how has your pencil gotten sharpened over time with your business? You know, just even through osmosis, just sitting there hearing that again and again, and it has to start connecting in some way, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been an experience that's only made me better, to be around people like that, to see their daily journeys and stuff, and just figure out the little things that they're doing, that, you know, whether it's how they are sourcing or just how they're interacting with people. I take from that, you know, I've been in mastermind groups with people where we share information, and I try and be as open and transparent as I've seen people like the Amazing Freedom team be. And
you've benefited from that.
And it's only been beneficial, mm-hmm. because there's been so many ideas in those arenas that I never would have thought of if I wasn't networking and engaging with people. And you know, it's give and take, but, you know, I don't think about the take side. I just try and give, and then it just comes naturally that the more you give, you're gonna see people just pour into you. Like, dude, I wanna show you something now. I wanna help you, you know. And it's like, oh, okay. And then you're like, wow. And it changes, you know, something about how you. I mean, like merch for me was, you know, I was doing the hustle of retail arbitrage on the side while working at PBS
with three kids.
with three kids, and I had like a full blown warehouse in my living room at one point, where my wife, while she loved the income, was starting to get a little
it gets
claustrophobic.
Old. I always tell people, warehouse is a good thing for your marriage. Getting that stuff out of your house is a good thing for your marriage.
And certainly, and, you know, and being friends with someone like Chris Green and seeing him post like, hey, look at this custom shirt I made. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, like, what, through Amazon? Tell me more. And have him immediately message me, here, like, here's merch by Amazon. Go sign up.
Immediately. You know? And, like, immediately. Yeah. And how much did he charge you for that? Tell me how much he charged.
He charged nothing.
Nothing.
One thing about Chris that people don't know is he's another one that it's not about the money. And so many people, I don't know why, get on his back about.
He takes a
beating by internet trolls and just people in general as to like why he's doing what he does. And generally, it's just he loves seeing people succeed, and he loves to, like, he's the idea guy, and he's someone that I've always, like, you know, whatever train he's jumped on, I'm kind of just jumped right on it too, and it's been so helpful for my family. You know, I was able to build a side income that really helped me do what I love doing while working from home. and no more boxes in my house and shipping stuff all the time. And, you know, so I'm grateful for that, you know, the way that he freely shares information.
But that, and I say this too, merch is easier for you because you did retail arb and because you did all that other stuff, right? Because one of the things that's cool about doing that stuff is you have to become efficient, right? You're handling volume,
right.
you gotta just continue to move stuff, and you gotta stay up on the trends, and you gotta be able to do that. That adaptability, maybe is the right term to use,
mm-hmm.
when applied to merch, that's the difference between the outliers, the people who are really doing well with it, and Steve and me. No, we do okay with it.
Your merch count's not.
No, it's okay. I mean, we're 1,000 tier, so I'm not. You know, I'm not embarrassed by that. You know, it's pretty good. But
I know.
We don't give it the effort it could be. I mean, we don't. I mean, to be honest with you, my son handles it now. Ashley handled it forever for us, and she moved on to something else. So my son handles it now. So we'll push it a little bit harder. But it's, you know, for us, it's not my love to what it is. But a guy like you who loves to tell a story, you could tell a story through a shirt, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, being in the field that I'm in and just in general, being a creative type, shirt ideas just kind of hit me like all the time. And so yeah, merch was a natural progression.
Can I tell the story of the one that I came up with for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
It won't affect you in any way?
No, not at all.
This was a few years ago.
Yeah.
We were in, I think we were in Colorado at that point, right? Doing one of Andy's retreats.
Yeah, we were
and
in Breckenridge.
The subject came around, and I'm going to give somebody, if somebody's looking for a product to source, I'm going to give you a product to source, chicken feeders. Now, if you sell chicken feeders, you're going to be like, Steve, you just outed my niche. But chicken feeders are a good item, right? Because they're big, they're bulky, they're expensive. It's a thin market, yet a growing market. Because in Denver, Colorado, for example, we have friends that have chickens and they live in apartments. They're everywhere. And I made the comment, chickens are hot. Literally, because they were. And man, the place roared. Oh my God, place roared. Okay, so fast forward to a little bit later on in the evening, and I'm wandering around, the house is huge, and I go up and I see Jeremy, and all he's doing is up there on this computer. I'm like, oh, he must be editing video. He must have done all day. And then all of a sudden, he had all of us get together in this group and yell out, chickens are hot. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? We all did it. I mean, we're all like fools. We all did it. I still don't understand what he was doing. And I'm thinking, oh, this must be part of the video that he's doing for Andy and stuff. Well, not even, I don't know, was it the same day or the next day? All of a sudden, the shirts are live. Chickens are hot, shirts are live out on Amazon merch. There is Facebook videos put into chicken groups on Facebook, right? There were videos created. There was email campaigns. You were into all these chicken-related organizations dropping
yep.
your link for that stuff. And that's yep. when I sat back and I'm like, oh, there's your competitive advantage. Because that barrier to entry to learn how to do all that stuff,
it's called marketing. Yeah.
You've been planning your whole life for that. Right.
Yeah.
This is like
so.
Perfect.
I can use the tools that I have at my disposal to tell little stories and give life to a product.
This was years ago, before everybody's saying to do this stuff. Nobody taught you that. This was intuitive to you based on
yeah.
your experience. And I always tell people that if whatever you've done in life, you apply that to this business in a way, and you have an advantage over me. Certainly. Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I it was so cool, and it was hilarious to see, and the dance you had the chicken do. I mean, it was just crazy all of a sudden, this video. It's almost like a viral video, really, is what I would think of.
Well, that's what I was attempting to do. I will say it didn't gain the traction that I would hope, but, you know, it was...
You sold more than one shirt.
Yeah, I did,
okay.
And it was fun, and it was fun, and you know, and but I've had success doing those types of things, and that's why I do it. I'm just because that one didn't like take off like wildfire, that niche did for me, you know.
That's
and,
funny.
Your ability to do more of them, right?
I want my percentage. Your ability to do more of those, right? You get better at every one of those, right? That one didn't take off, but when fish are hot or, you know, whatever, panda bears are hot or whatever that would be, whatever, insert words in both ends. you can just replicate it and just whip them out and whip them out. That's really the best part of it, isn't it? Because it's not like you're just creating a shirt and putting it up and saying, go ahead, Amazon, do the work. Your ability to influence it has to be the probably one of the most rewarding pieces of it.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, it's selling it. So. Yeah, you're like selling it. I mean, you literally are. By creating that video, you're selling it. And then when it happens, it's like, ah, I was rewarded for my effort. That's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's what's kept me going. And, you know, with merch, you got to have thick skin just like any other entrepreneurial endeavor.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that, like, you can't fall in love with your designs and think that everything you're making is beautiful and why don't people want to buy it? Because frankly, they're going to buy stuff that you don't even have a way of predicting. That, you know, some of the most awful designs I've thrown up that I'm like, ah, well, this didn't come out how I wanted, but whatever, I'll put it up there, and then ends up being one of my best sellers. It's just like, you don't know your clients as well as you think you do. And your ideas may not be as amazing as you think they are. So if you are so invested in design that fails, and then you just take that personally, you're not going to have the wherewithal to pick yourself up and keep going and doing it every day.
Do they have demographics out on buyers for merch on Amazon? Do they share that? I've not seen it, but I'm just wondering.
No, not really. I mean, you can see the sizes and colors that are being ordered and whether it was a man or woman buying it, or, you know, child, but it's not really maybe through the ads that they're doing, they'll start adding some of that stuff in, but.
So how do you know who your customers are then? I mean, how do you approach that? Is that, 'cause I'm sitting here thinking about what you said, is that you don't know, well, I'm an old dude, so I would do things that I'm interested in. Maybe that's my limit, right? Because there's not a lot of old dudes buying shirts on Amazon. Or maybe they are, but I don't know. But how do you know the market? So how do you approach that?
Well, I mean, with any niche, if I think a shirt's going to be good, or I know because it's already selling, I can go on like Facebook or Instagram. Mostly Facebook, I'll find groups where, you know, if it was chickens, I find all the groups that people are like closed groups, people talking about chickens. And I join those groups and, you know, I don't just like spam them with my shirts. I try and interact a little first so it doesn't look so like scammy. But, you know, and I'll eventually post a shirt and without a link or, you know, maybe a couple shirt ideas and say, hey, what do you guys think? And I usually get sales that way. And it's a, you know, and that's you know that when you're in those groups, you know that those are the most like passionate people in that niche.
So. Well, you said something earlier that like with the chickens are hot, that wasn't the hot idea, but you drew more ideas from that niche. And so because you put your effort into and did exactly what you're saying, getting in those groups, you found other ideas that you had not even thought of.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just didn't realize chickens were such a, they literally are hot.
And, no doubt.
And thanks to you, Steve, I looked into that niche and I'm still active in a bunch of those chicken groups on Facebook and I still have shirts that sell. So I'm thankful for that little
The nudge.
Idea.
That nudge. Yeah. Well, but it's very cool to me, again, you know, and I always say, because people come for advice or whatever, and I'm like, look, start, right? Just start, right? You know, get going. And then it'll evolve over time. You know, where you start is not where you're going to finish. And so just have an open mind and be attentive to it, and you'll be led the right way. Okay, how is that for a segue? So tell me this. Are you still a videographer for PBS?
No, actually, within the past year, I made a switch to working in full-time ministry.
So, get the being led there. I was trying to take it there. That was pretty good. So what comes across, you know, as somebody who has a calling like that, what comes across that would push you that way? I mean, how big is the nudge for that? For you, I guess it would be different for each person.
I'm not
how going, you know, why, not why, because obviously you felt called there, but it's, how big is the nudge for that? I mean, how, you know, because everybody say, oh, pay attention, always pay attention to that stuff. You know, was it a smack in the head for you, or was it a being, you know what I mean?
Well, for me, I mean, I've always kind of tried to serve, is the right word, at my church, using my skills. And as the church has grown more and more, the needs for someone with my skill set has grown. And, you know, it was just a conversation that was being had over, you know, several years of, hey, what would it look like to one day, you know, us kind of bring you on staff and have you help us as we grow and do more media. And, you know, it was a natural progression. I've actually always wanted to work in ministry, and it's something that I've always had my eye on, and I've even done several stints in part-time, even while at PBS, worked in other ministries part-time. So it wasn't like a massive, like, pivot for me. It was kind of a long overdue, this is where everything was kind of headed type thing.
It's very neat. I mean, if you stood back and took the, you know, the 100-yard look backwards like I try to do, would you see it as a natural progression? I mean, does it look like that now, thinking about it?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I feel like everything I've learned in my life has prepared me for what I'm doing now, and including the entrepreneurial side of things.
Yeah, 100%.
Learning how to market my shirts is probably one of the biggest assets I bring to the staff here, because I'm able to use that skill set to now market our church as a place to come and connect with other people and connect with God. So I love that all that's kind of built a skill set within me that makes me good at what I do.
You know, what I think about when I think about your story is the sacrifices you made, because, you know, doing RA, doing online, doing, you know, all the FBA stuff and then the merch stuff still had to come at a cost to your family of time, right? It didn't come at money. Yeah. I mean, I know they benefited from the money, but it's still just like when you did a side hustle to do videography for a third party, that comes at a cost of time. And you with a bunch of kids, that's limited. But now that you're on the other side of it, you found a home with, you know, career-wise, what seems to be the fit of fits, and you're still able to do your side hustle. Looking back, would you change anything about it? Because I think about somebody listening saying, man, I work a lot of hours. You know, can I give up another 2 hours of my life to get started doing this and then put in the 1,000 hours we know that it will take to be successful? What would you say?
I don't know that I would have pushed through and done as much RA as I did, thinking about it now, just because of the pressure it put on my family, even though there were parts of it that were fun because we could do it together. And, you know, me and my wife and kids are packing up products and labeling them, and that was good, but it did put a lot of strain, you know, sometimes financially, because you've got a lot of money invested in product, and sometimes, you made, you know, I one time made a hugely wrong purchase, buying Walmart out of stock of an item that immediately came back in stock at a lower price. It's like, yeah, stuff like that, mistakes like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Made for some tough times. Whereas, like, you know, if I would have, the one thing I would have done differently is it just dropped everything and started that day that Chris Green sent me the join merch by Amazon link and focused on that. I did immediately sign up for merch, but
you waited the rest of us. Yeah.
Yeah. It came at a time where it was like the beginning of the fourth quarter. And, you know, I was already in the middle of like trying to maximize my profits for that fourth quarter, and was just put merch completely on the back burner.
So that's an interesting point. So listening to those, you know, visionaries, and Chris is a visionary because he is an idea guy, like you said, but he's three or four ideas out. I mean, some of his stuff, you'll be sitting there, oh, come on. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, holy crap, that dude was right. And I should have listened to him, right? So by listening to Chris types, because there are others like him, but he's truly a visionary. Yeah. He really is.
Yeah.
By seeing that and listening to him and start saying, that aligns with what I want to do more so than this. Now, Andy will tell you, don't stop, adjust, right? So as you say, maybe you don't go as hard at RA. You keep enough to go to make up whatever you were doing with that, you know, and then use that money as an investment to launch this next thing. I think that is very, very sound advice. Very
brilliant.
Sound advice.
Because
it, it aligns with what, you know, like you said, if you would have got into merch earlier, because you already had the skill sets, the learning curve's gone, how much bigger could you have been quicker, right?
Right, right.
So I think that's powerful advice. I never thought about it that way.
Back then, it was, you know, I mean, I know people are complaining now their sales are they're off. You know, the competition's gotten stiffer. Back then, it was a gold mine. Mm-hmm. And I just wish I'd listened sooner. And so being aware and active in the communities so that you can jump on that next idea, not that I think merch is like going downhill. I think there's nothing but upside, even though there's a lot of negativity around it right now. There's always going to be another opportunity like that, and you're going to miss it if you're not connected and networking and giving to the community.
Well, that's community, a mindset issue. That's exactly right. Yeah, if you're not giving back, it's very hard to take because people aren't going to give to you. Right, you have to give back.
Yeah.
Powerful. Okay, so what's next? What are you thinking that you know? Let me make this one last point on Chris Green there. He's still dropping these knowledge things. This isn't his last hurrah. He's not one and done. He's not 15 and done. He's got more, and so pay attention to it, and then see if it aligns with you, because this could be replicated. This merch isn't the last hot thing that Amazon's going to do. Now they're looking at healthcare. They're looking at all these other things, and if you're in the healthcare world, that's an opportunity. I don't know what it is yet, but you know more than I do, so therefore you have an advantage. How do you maximize that advantage? That's the key to be looking for those things. So just like Jeremy had an advantage with video and marketing, and he was able to take advantage of it, you have it if you're in healthcare or whatever else they get into, aviation or tickets or whatever. So sorry, I didn't want to lose that. So back to it. So what do you think you're going to do next? I mean, obviously you got a lot on your plate. The kids are getting a little bit older. I mean, what do you see for yourself?
I'll say one of the side hustles that I've started doing over the past like year or so, and only a handful of clients, is doing product videos. I see one of the key things with Amazon is, and they even mentioned this at a conference that I was at, that the Amazon search engine is going to favor video more and more going forward. And you already see that, like if you text a product to someone on, like, I know on an Apple device, at least, I don't know about all you Android users, but when you text a product from Amazon, if it's got a product video attached to it, when that person gets your text, they'll see a video just start playing in right there on the text screen. And so immediately you're engaged with the product without even landing on Amazon's page yet. So there's the power of video. And, you know, that's something that,
I'll tell a story. Your goal is to tell a story. Tell me this isn't your world colliding.
Right. And you know, and that working with the Amazing Freedom guys and talking about that, and like, you know, it was just like, well, duh, this is something I've got to start tapping into. So me and another videographer friend of mine that I've done a lot of work with have started doing some work for people like Paul Miller, who has Cozy Phones, and Eric Payne.
Don't say his product.
I'm not saying his product.
I know it. Don't say
but
it.
But he's an amazingly cool,
smart
guy. What a great freaking story he is. In fact, kind of brought tears to my eyes just listening to his and Paul's stories. Their success stories are just something that anyone can be inspired by. But working alongside them to help them bring their products to life has been a really fun adventure. And, you know, so and I just want to continue doing more of that, just because you know, it's right in my wheelhouse of things to do. And on top of that, continue to grow my my merch account. Sorry.
Yeah, but you're also, no, I cut you off because you're also giving back to them. I understand they're paying you, but you're doing it with a compassion for their success. That's hard to find. That's not just a contract. Because right. I think that's one of the hardest things for people to get. You can get anybody to shoot a photo.
Right.
But for them to care about your product so you it shows like it's yours, that's yeah. hard to find. And so
yeah.
give me the chills thinking about it. All right. Yeah. So if somebody's interested in that, you're going to reach out to Jeremy because he's going to give us his contact information right now.
Yeah.
Tell me the best way if somebody has a need
direct, for that. I mean, you can just direct message me on Facebook or Instagram. We have a Facebook page that I just started like a few weeks ago. I haven't really done much with it, called Amazing Product Videos. So you can reach us from there as well. We'll kind of see a nice little testimonial from Leoran Hirschkorn, who I've done a lot of work with on there.
Oh, that's Yoda. And when Yoda speaks, everybody should listen, just like Chris Green. Honestly, smart dude. One of the smartest people I've ever met in my life.
All right. Leoran's hands down the smartest guru I've ever met. So
yeah. And I know people use that guru term in a negative way. I'm blown away. I mean, I see him help people like 20 because they're vampires. They never sleep.
Yeah.
And they're just always messaging, yep, just do this, just do this. And it's like, wow. Okay, so the last thing I always ask is I'm always looking for something to help people who get stuck. While we talked through your conversation, you hit challenges along the way. Life happened, right? You know, things don't always work out. What's your advice for somebody who's looking at this right now? I'm hoping that they hear what you said, is pay attention and then look for the lane what's in your wheelhouse, right? And find that piece and then embrace it, right? Who would know that videography for Amazon is going to be potentially your biggest thing? Who would have thought that, right? That wasn't something that didn't even exist almost a year ago, 2 years ago.
Right.
So you have to be open-minded to. So I hope you hear that. Whoever listening, hear that. That's really solid advice. But what about somebody who's stuck right now and they're sitting there saying, should I go on with this, Jeremy? This isn't quite as what I expected. What's your advice?
I mean, my biggest thing is just always be networking. And if you're stuck, talk about it in Facebook or
that's hard to do, dude. We're all supposed to be positive. We're all selling millions.
Yeah. Yeah. But not always. And the thing is, like, just talking about it and getting it out there, you'll realize how many other people either are in the same position or have been there and that are willing to kind of either talk you off the cliff as far as if you're ready to give up on it or can give you some new direction. There's just such an incredible community of people out there that are willing to help, that if you're in that like world where you're thinking, man, I don't know if this is for me, talk about it and see what the people that have been in your shoes before did to find a way to push through.
Solid advice. Dude, I'm very excited for you. And again, his Amazing Product Videos is his Facebook page. Check that out, and I'll put his Facebook contact on this episode. And I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much.
Steven, I always love chatting with you, but this has been fun.
How cool was that story? What a great guy. Just doing well where he wants to be. So now he's got two lines of work related to e-commerce, right? He's on merch and he's doing videography for products, for brands. That's cool. Does that mean he failed because he's not doing RA or FBA anymore? No. He's past that point for him. But that doesn't mean you should give it up. That's just for him. And that's the beauty of this. You can find, and if you listen to Chris Green talk, there were 18 ways to earn money on Amazon last time I heard him talk about it. There are probably 23 ways to earn money on Amazon. Well, the videography is a new one that wasn't even there before. So listening to people like that and paying attention, putting yourself in a position that you're accepted takes some effort. You got to be good. You got to be giving. You've got to help others. And then you get this magic help. And I think Jeremy's a great example of what it could be. So I hope that you connected with him as much as I do. Just a great guy. E-commercemomentum.com, e-commercemomentum.com.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.